My name is Wayne. I am a follower of Jesus. I am recovering from abuse and neglect and struggle with codependency and fear and shame.
Amen.
Wendell and I talked about maybe having a dance for Pathway, but we figured after 12 steps everybody would quit. There was the man and his wife were asleep one night, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody's pounding on the door. It's pouring rain, it's pitch black, and the man goes down to the door, and there's this, I don't know how to tell this joke where it's not offensive, this fella who's either codependent or drunk. You can take it whichever way you want to. Beating on the door, and he opens the door, and the guy says, "Can you give me a push?" And he says, "It's 3 o'clock in the morning, it's pouring rain, there's no way I'm going to give you a push." So he slams the door and he goes back to bed and he's getting in the bed, and the wife says, "Who was that?" He says, "Just some drunk or codependent who needed a push." And she said, "Will you call yourself a Christian? You know, when we broke down and those people helped us, remember how much that helped us, made a difference for us?" And he said, "All right." So he gets up, he puts his clothes on, gets his umbrella out, he goes out, it's pouring down rain and it's pitch dark, and he can't find the guy. And finally he says, "I've come to give you a push. Where are you?" He says, "Over here on the swing set." Sometimes things are not what they appear to be. And tonight, this may be I had this idea, and sometimes my ideas are not very good, and this may be one of those times. So you do with it what you want to. Here it is, and you can do with it what you want to. But sometimes our relationship with God is kind of confused and hard to figure out. We have these ideas what that's going to look like and these expectations, but a lot of times that's not how it works. You know, we think we know what a loving and wise and powerful God is going to do, but sometimes those expectations end up in disappointment and grief or confusion anyway. And part of that's because we're human and we're bound by flesh and blood and we're limited by how much we know and what we've experienced, and you know, God's bigger and stronger and smarter than we are. But I think some of it has to do, and this is where it starts getting weird, and you can pick and choose what you do from here, because it has no authority whatsoever other than the wild ramblings of my head. So this, you're getting an idea of what I live with all the time. So this is what I think. So some of that, I think, has to do with the idea that God is healthy and he's the only one we relate to who is. Every other relationship we have has issues involved in it, either the other person's or ours, or most of the time, both of them. And so I think it has to do with this idea, this relational style of God's, that he doesn't do the drama or the issues that we do. God has been restored to sanity, if he ever lost it. He has this peaceful, stress-free existence. He's sad. He has grief in his life and sorrow. Things are not what he wants them to be. He would like for them to change. But the way he deals with that is different than the way we do. He accepts the world as it is, not as he would have it. He's figured out how to do that. And so I was just thinking about some of the different issues we have. And surprisingly, I don't think God is a perfectionist. Look around, obviously. He's okay with things that aren't quite perfect. God's not afraid of failure or the appearance of failure. There are a lot of relationships that God has with people that appear to be failures. People who start to follow and then don't. Projects that get started but then get stopped. People who betray him or give up on him. And he seems to be, you know, okay with that. He doesn't have to have everything turn out the way he wants it to. He's not a pushy person. He pulls. He doesn't force things. Rather, it's kind of like seed or yeast that he puts in our lives that grows kind of naturally. He invites us. He woos us. Sometimes he begs us, but he never forces us. He never forces his will or his way to be accomplished. He trusts the process to happen. He's not, I don't think he's focused on results. I mean, he knows how things are going to turn out. He's not, that's not in question, but he rather focuses on relationships. He doesn't try to measure us or how we're doing. He doesn't calculate how well his plan is working out. He's not a perfectionist in that he has to know that he's making progress. I think he lives in these in the moment, as we talk about. He's not obsessed with the end result as much as he is invested in the moment. He's not focused on the results. He's focused on the relationship. He's not a perfectionist in that he doesn't engage in all or nothing thinking. He woos and he wanes and he nurtures and he grows and he takes us where we are. He meets us as we are and where we are. And he lingers there with us. He will take what we give him, which is an amazing, astounding thing, that the God of the universe will take what we give him. We think sometimes that we have to be 100% for Jesus or sold out for God. I think he'll take 60%. I think he'll take 20%. I think he'll take whatever we give him. And so he's not that all or nothing kind of relationship with him. I think he functions well in the not yets. He's okay with us not being fixed. Again, look around. Think about yourself, about all the times that we ask God to fix us, and he doesn't do that. The not yets don't bother him. He plays well with people and situations that are not resolved. He's comfortable with people who are not finished. He is at ease with us where we are. He is not a perfectionist. And I don't think he's codependent. I think God dances, but not that dance. Not that codependent where it's just a dance that we repeat over and over again that never gets anywhere. I think he refuses to be drawn into our issues sometimes. We think that he should act and mix with us and do what be in the middle of it. And sometimes, you know, that's called enabling. And I don't think God does that. I think he's healthy, and he knows that that's not going to bring the healing that we desire. God is not codependent. He is not an enabler. And sometimes I think we get mad at him for that. I think we get disappointed with God because he doesn't enable our issues. He doesn't make decisions based on what gets your approval or whether you like it or not. He makes decisions based on his grace and his love and his wisdom. He makes sacrifices for us, and he gives up his own rights and pleasure and his benefits for us, but not to make sure that we affirm or approve or that we like him. But he does that in order to give us the opportunity to experience life. He extends grace to us, not in the hope that we will like him better, that we'll do what he wants us to even, but he extends grace to us because he loves us and he cares about us. God's not an enabler. He does not cover up our mistakes. He doesn't ignore them. He doesn't sweep them under the rug. He doesn't feel the need to pretend that we're not jerks sometimes. He knows that, and he's okay with that. He doesn't ignore our stupidity. He deals with it, but he doesn't fix it, and he doesn't cover it up. He doesn't tell us to pretend that we haven't done those things. And I don't think it's hard for him to say no to our demands when they're not healthy. I think saying no is something that he finds easy to do when he knows that it's not helpful to us to say yes. And when he says no, he can't be manipulated. You can't make God feel guilty. I don't think. You can make God feel guilty, and you can't make him feel more responsible for us than he already does. And I don't think, you know, sometimes in codependency, we feel trapped in relationships. I don't think God feels trapped in this relationship with us. He doesn't feel like it's not going anywhere. God chooses to be here with us. God chooses to stay in relationship with us, not because we're good at it, but because he loves us so much. He's not codependent in that he needs this. He chooses it. And I don't think God has any problem setting boundaries with us, whether we like it or not. We want him to be what we want him to be, but he doesn't feel any need to explain himself. He doesn't draw pictures. He doesn't make sure that we understand what he's doing so that we won't get our feelings hurt. Sometimes God hurts our feelings because we're little babies. And that he can't, there's nothing he can do about it. But he doesn't feel the need that he has to explain himself any further than he already has. God desires a healthy relationship with his people. He doesn't want to baby us and carry us along. He wants us to discover the joy of health. And God is not addicted to affirmation. You know, worship is not stroking God's ego. It's just a recognition of truth. I was thinking about this in terms of affirmation and how we seek that a lot of times. Do you think there'll be mirrors in heaven? Can you imagine going all eternity with never checking your hair? I mean, I can't. I'm getting close to that. It's not going to be a possibility anyway. But you know, the idea that we will never think about our appearance, it won't be an issue, that idea of gaining the approval of others by the way we look. I don't think God has mirrors. I don't think he's trying to make sure he looks good to us. He's comfortable with who he is. He doesn't feel any desperate need to be better or more or different. He acts out of love whether we recognize that that's what it is or not. Worship is something he deserves, not something he demands. It's simply the recognition of truth, not an attempt to make God feel good. Worship is celebration, not duty. We're not doing it because it helps us manipulate God. And then I don't think God is afraid of rejection. I mean, it happens all the time. He knows it better than anybody. He deals with it every day. But it doesn't change his confidence in the power of his grace, doesn't shake his sense of self or purpose, doesn't make him angry or exasperated or tempt him to give up. Instead, it simply reminds him of how desperate our need is. It doesn't stop him from loving or reaching out or extending grace to us or to the next person. Just because the last one rejected him, it does not diminish his desire to know the next one. He doesn't become reclusive or hide or timid. He doesn't go back to his cave and suck his thumb or hide under his blanket. He continues to love and extend grace to each and all of us. And I don't think God is a workaholic. I think he knows the value of rest. He doesn't stress if he's not working. He's not a micromanager. He lets us make choices. He leaves outcomes up to the participants, and he delegates some pretty important stuff to people that follow him. He gives us responsibility to do things that are really important because he understands the power that he has invested in us. He understands the power of grace extended through our lives. I believe that God likes fun. I think he likes days off and vacations. I think that he had prophets who he helped sleep and rest, that he nurtured when they were tired, that he took care of. Jesus slept in the boat. He rested when he was tired. He went away by himself to recover. I think he understands all that stuff. And I'm not sure, but I don't think he's OCD. I'm not sure, but I don't think. He's kind of big on counting things. You know, he likes the number 40 and the number 7 and the number 12. So I'm not sure what that says about him. He does repeat himself over and over, but that has more to do with our thickness than it does his obsessiveness, I think. But I think he is a little bit obsessive about us. I think he loves us to his own harm. He loves us to the point of hurting himself. I think that's what the cross is about. And I'm not sure that that's an unhealthy obsession. For our sake, it's our only hope. But I don't think God needs for me to reassure him that he's right. I don't think he needs that constant affirmation that he's doing the right thing. he hadn't asked me if he overreacted with that whole flood thing or not. He didn't ask me if he did enough by dying on the cross or whether he should have done something more. I think he knows. He is content with how well and how much he loves us. He doesn't seem to overanalyze my actions or our conversations. I think he trusts his love and the grace that is at work in my relationship with him and in the relationships that I have with others. He's not in that evaluating how we're doing all the time thing. He's not obsessed with that. That's not what he's about. He's more about just being in it, in the relationship, in the moment, trusting the possibilities that grace creates and the opportunities that life creates. Now, he is pretty organized. I'll give him that, but he doesn't keep the place very clean. Look around. Looks kind of like a teenager's bedroom a lot of times. He doesn't jump to fix natural disasters or ecological issues. But I think he knows what he's doing. I don't think God is addicted to anything, not worship and not obedience. They don't fulfill him as much as we might think they do. I think he is fulfilled by the response of our hearts to him. He's a good listener. You know, the miracle of prayer is not that God answers. The miracle of prayer is that God listens, that he hears us. He loves us unconditionally, not with a love that's tied to performance or whim or until something better comes along, but he loves us with this healthy, healing love. He seeks the best for us. He loves the person in front of him. He doesn't play games. He's not into drama. He's authentic. He's sad when we feel the need to pretend or when our issues manage to control us and warp our relationship with him. Perfect love casts out fear. God dares us to love him with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. I think not because that's what our duty is, but I think because he is so healthy that he understands what that is, and that he knows that grace is sufficient, that if we dare to seek to live that kind of life, then we will discover what he has for us. So maybe this week, when God acts in healthy ways, let's try to give him a break and not be angry at him for being healthier than we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have chosen us and for this obsession you have with us to love us, to redeem us, to make us healthy and whole, to heal our broken places, to draw us to yourself. We thank you, Father, that you refuse to be manipulated, that you refuse to enable us, that you believe in the possibility that we might have a healthy relationship with you and with our neighbor. We ask, Father, that possibility will continue to grow in us like a seed, like yeast spreads, that we will become more and more the person that Christ desires and seeks for us to be. In Jesus' name.